Today on The Connection, Skip Heitzig shares some of the highlights from the recent Epicenter Conference radio special in Jerusalem.
I'm so glad we can stick to a book and go through it as a conference and find out what God has revealed, because yes, the day of the Lord does include gloom and does include judgment, but there's this terrific restoration that he promises for his people. So I want to thank Joel Rosenberg for giving me the best part of the book of Joel to exegete.
Welcome to The Connection with Skip Heitzig on this first Friday in June. Today, we're going to take a short break from our current series, The Biography of God, as we spend some time with Skip and other guests to share some of the highlights of the recent Epicenter Conference radio special in Jerusalem. It's certainly been an eventful year, with countries throughout the Middle East in revolt, life-shattering earthquakes, and the amazing news that one of the world's most wanted men, Osama bin Laden, was killed during a daring raid by Navy SEALs. What, if anything, do these events mean? Are we getting closer to the final days as predicted in the Bible? And if so, what does that mean for Israel? We'll find out with these highlights from the Epicenter Conference radio special from Jerusalem, with speakers such as Joel Rosenberg and Graham Lotz, and of course Pastor Skip, to discuss these issues and what sort of relevance they have for us as Christians. We'll explore the answers to those questions here in just a moment. But first, here are some resources that can help you do the same on your own time.
Where is the center of the Earth? Well, if you're speaking scientifically, it's deep within our globe beneath at least three other layers. However, historically speaking, the center of the Earth is none other than Israel, and more specifically, Jerusalem. Why is that? What is it about this one small plot of land that makes it the center of the world's attention? Find out in Epicenter, featuring Skip Heitzig and Joel Rosenberg, available this month from The Connection. This documentary will explain why the trends and currents of history all center on Israel. Plus, when you order, we'll also send you Joel Rosenberg's book, Inside the Revolution, A Peek Inside Radical Islam. Get this month's Final Days package from The Connection for just $30. Call 1-800-922-1888 or visit connectionradio.org. Get both resources for just $30. Call 1-800-922-1888.
While we don't have time to cram everything in that was shared, we'll hit on many of the high points from the Epicenter radio special and its various speakers. It's sure to be an informative and enlightening time, so stay with us for this very special First Friday edition of The Connection.
Take the time to make the connection.
So to begin our time today with Skip Heitzig, Joel Rosenberg, and others, here's Janet Parshall, who hosted the Epicenter Conference radio special from Jerusalem.
Well, who among us today cannot say these are pretty exciting times to be alive? We take a look at the world events and our heart tends to beat just a little bit faster. And if you're paying attention, as Scripture tells us to, we need to be watching and we need to be excited because our redemption draws nigh. There's a wonderful benefit you and I have of hanging on to the Word of Life, as Scripture is often referred to. It's got the power to illuminate our path. It's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. So this hour, we're going to have the pleasure of talking with some great Bible teachers. We're going to talk about church planting that's going on in the Middle East. And you and I together are going to discover again the mandate to declare the whole truth of the whole gospel to the whole world. And that should get your heart pumping a little bit faster. I am so excited that with me will be Joel Rosenberg, a name so many of you know, recognize, and love. Joel, of course, is the author of some New York Times best-selling books, both fiction and nonfiction, and his heart does beat a little bit faster for the Middle East. He, along with his dear wife, Lynn, have co-founded the Joshua Fund. And during the course of our time together, we're going to tell you more about this marvelous organization that in a very practical way shows the love of Jesus to the people in that area of the world that Joel Rosenberg often refers to as the epicenter. So Joel, I thank you so much for being with us, and I am personally looking forward to our time together.
Well, Janet, it is such a joy to be with you from Jerusalem, from the epicenter of the epicenter. And I just so appreciate the opportunity to talk to you and to this radio audience. These are extraordinary days. Just look at the events that have happened. Some of them have been exciting. Some of them have been quite heartbreaking. But dramatic events all throughout the region, and more every single day, it seems. You can't pick up a newspaper without seeing just another dramatic moment that they seem game changing, and so here we are now, and what does the future hold, and what does the Lord want on our hearts as we go forward? This is why we convened this particular Epicenter Conference in Jerusalem, and it has been extraordinary. My favorite verse, my life verse, comes from the book of Joel, chapter 2, verse 11. The Lord thunders at the head of his army. Unlimited are his forces, and mighty are those that obey his command. The day of the Lord is indeed great and very awesome. Who can endure it? And I just love that verse ever since I was in high school, for so many reasons. One, because it talks about the sovereignty of God. It talks about the leadership of our Lord Jesus Christ. It talks about how his forces are unlimited. Sometimes we feel embattled by the enemy, but the truth is the Lord is greater. And how mighty are those, each one of us, if we will obey his command, receive and follow his word. And the day of the Lord is coming. And that really, even more than the fact that it's my favorite book, and that this is my favorite verse, in prayer with our colleagues, some of whom will be on this program, we believed that this was the theme that the Lord wanted. I mean, just because it's my favorite book, we could have done it at any other conference. In fact, I have never attended a church that, at least when I was there, they were preaching through the book of Joel. I've heard wonderful sermons by and read wonderful commentaries from many others. But anyway, I say that we all sense, those of us who were involved in this conference, that this is a unique moment, and the Lord is saying this book needs to be dusted off and communicated to the church and to Israel in the months and weeks and years that follow. There's something that's on his heart, and we need to dig in, dig it out, and share it with others.
Mm. Well, let's do a little dusting, Joel. Let's just, by way of background, discover who Joel was. When was the book written? Can we know that definitively? Who was Joel, and who was the targeted audience at the time that Joel authored this book?
Well, you know, the fascinating thing about this is that we learned so little about Joel compared to other major prophets, but even other minor prophets. We learn more biographical information and personal information from the others. In Joel 1:1, we learn that, sure enough, it says, the word of the Lord came to Joel, the son of Petuel. Okay, that's it. That is literally all we know. Joel is never detailed in any way in any other part of the scripture. We know that Joel itself, Yoel in Hebrew, means Jehovah is God, or the Lord is God. And he's the son of Petuel, which means vision of God. But so people have asked me, well, why didn't God give us more information about him? And I think it's because Joel is not the focus of the book. He's a communicator. God used him for whatever reason, probably because he was faithful, to write it down just as the Lord wanted it and not get in the way. And I think that's an important thing. In terms of when the book was written, again, there are literally no time references anywhere in the book of Joel as to when it was written. You know, so many of the other prophecies have these, you know, during the time of the fifth year of this king and during the reign of so-and-so, nothing. And there's been all kinds of scholarship. You know, some have said it in the 9th century B.C., others said the 6th or 7th century B.C., some have said the 5th century. When you get all that, you realize nobody knows. And again, you say, well, why not? Again, I would say the Lord is saying, look, I don't want you to focus on Joel, and I don't want you to focus on the kingdom with which it was written or the time period. This is about the future. It is about the day of the Lord coming, and he wants us to be exclusively focused on that. And that's one of the things, as I've been studying this, and along with my fellow teachers at the conference, we just kind of came to the conclusion the focus is the Lord and the future, not Joel and the past.
You're listening to a radio special featuring Joel Rosenberg in Jerusalem, presented by the Joshua Fund. And now we're going to add Skip Heitzig into our conversation as well, another speaker at this year's 2011 Epicenter Radio Conference taking place in Israel. And Skip, of course, is the pastor of Calvary of Albuquerque. It's a massive church that ministers to over 13,500 adults and their children every weekend, and it's spun off over 50 churches internationally. And Skip, we welcome you, and as we're digging deeper into the book of Joel, we see yet again a transition in chapter 2. And by the way, I referenced that as chapter 1 before 13. It's actually 2:13. But when we see a transition in chapter 2, verse 18, it comes under the canopy of the Lord had pity. Yet another attribute of our great king. We read in verse 18 that the Lord had pity on his people. Why is that important, Skip?
It's important because in the first and second chapters, as they begin, God is calling through the prophet Joel to a people to repent. And then you have this decisive change in chapter 2, verse 18, where the Lord will be zealous for his land, or his love will burn zealously. And it assumes that the message got through, that the people have repented, because there's a promise of restoration. And though some of it may be attached or fulfilled historically, certainly not all of it. God says that his people would never again be ashamed or be ashamed. And what we're seeing is God looking through this dual prophetic lens of into the near future, but eschatologically into the far future of a full restoration for his people. So it's anticipating the greatest of the great.
And that's wonderful, because what you've just described, I think, Skip, is a holistic picture of God. You can't discuss his judgment without discussing his mercy. You can't discuss his love without also understanding that there's his pity. Why? And let me ask you, as a pastor of a church that just keeps growing and growing, Skip, why is it a mortal's perspective to pick and choose the picture of God rather than letting God reveal to us through his word exactly who he is? Why the propensity for us to try to make a God of our own construction?
Well, it's been the problem since the very beginning. It's why God said back in Exodus 20, you're not to make an image of me, of anything in heaven or anything on earth. That it's there's basically two ways we can deal with God: either A, human imagination, or B, divine revelation. When people push aside divine revelation, they're only left with one thing, and that is they got to make up something, whether they cast it in their mind, or they cast a theological ideal, or they make an image and they bow down to it. So man has always had this hunger to understand why he's here. Is there a God? Is there a purpose? And God says, yes, 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 let me reveal that to you. But man has this propensity, because we've fallen, it all happened back in the early parts of Genesis, to push God out of the way, and what they're left with is human imagination. That's why I'm so glad we can stick to a book and go through it as a conference and find out what God has revealed, because yes, the day of the Lord does include gloom and does include judgment, but there's this terrific restoration that he promises for his people. So I want to thank Joel Rosenberg for giving me the best part of the book of Joel to exegete.
And I think everyone has thought that, which I'm glad about that, right?
So you know, there's this, it's every verse in that second chapter, in the second part of the second chapter, beginning in verse 18, it drips with hope. Mm-hmm. It's so filled with God's mercy and redemption and restoration in those days. So it sort of moves from lamentation to restoration. That's how the book takes a turn in that verse.
You have been coming to this land of Israel, as we sit here in Jerusalem, ever since you were in college, and I believe you've taken 33 trips to Israel. Talk about that combination and pick it as up and go forward into chapter 2, this heart God has for the land and the people.
Okay, I'd love to do that, but let me just back up a moment, okay. Joel, and just say this, that, you know, the joy, the privilege of having a conference like this at your organization and bequest in Jerusalem. You know, I mean, there's a lot of places you could have a conference on prophecy, and you know, we've done a radio broadcast from the Big Apple in New York City, the Empire State Building. We're in the Big Apple of God's eye. You know, this is the big apple.
Good line.
and so to talk about this restoration of Zion and that deliverance will come to Jerusalem, we're in it. I mean, there's something special about delving over and unpacking these verses in this land. I don't know, Ray and Joel, there's just this excitement that we get in going through this. But let me just speak to that. God is zealous for the land. The first time I came to Israel, Israel was 30 years old as a nation. So that's a long time ago for me. It's now 63 years old as a nation. Just celebrated its birthday. Just had Independence Day. But God made an unconditional promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, unconditional, without restriction, without conditions, a unilateral covenant that he would bless a certain undeserved people with a piece of real estate. Now, it is completely unconditional. He didn't say, if you do this, I'll do that. That comes later in another covenant called the Mosaic Covenant, where God says, if you blow it, I'm going to kick you out of the land, but, he says, I'll still bring you back, and he promises restoration even in the midst of their disobedience, conditioned upon their repentance, which the Babylonian captivity brought very effectively. So what you have is sort of this covenant where God says, an unconditional covenant with Abraham, I'm giving you the land. However, conditionally, under the Mosaic Covenant, your tenure in the land is dependent upon your obedience to me.
Yeah, I like to say that sometimes, that God has given unconditionally the ownership of the land to the Jewish people, but the occupancy is conditional.
Correct.
So you own it, but you know, you own the house, but the Lord may kick you out of the house. You still own it, but you're not there. You're out renting someplace.
Right.
And then he wants to bring you back, and so, the Jewish people back. And so some theologians don't go there, but thank God that you do.
Now let's join Joel Rosenberg as he has this discussion on the Book of Joel with Ann Graham Lutz.
And it's such a joy to have you here in Jerusalem. You and I met in Canada. Of course, we obviously knew who you were, but just spending some time with you and one of your daughters and your heart for, obviously, the gospel and God's word. One of the things I didn't realize that you had not been back to Israel since you were 16 years old. Is that right?
16 was the last time. I came when I was 13 and then came when I was 16. I hadn't been back. I'm 63, so that's a long time ago.
Well, you were born, I mean, you were sort of tied in with the history of Israel, right? You were born in...
You know, that's so special because Israel was established as a nation on the 15th. I think they declared it on the Sabbath, which was the 14th, but 15th is when the papers were signed. May 15th, 1948. I was born May 21st, 1948. So we're the same age. And I believe whatever in the prophetic calendar that was kicked off when Israel was established is my generation. I believe I am that generation that has seen the fig tree put forth buds and will, and I believe if I live out my natural lifetime, that I'll live to see the return of Jesus to this earth.
Oh, amen. Yeah, when I began to put those pieces together, plus your passion for the Word of God, really teaching, helping people understand the power of the Word of God, and your heart for the church that often, you know, we're supposed to know the Word of God, but we often don't. So that's why I asked you to come and speak on Joel chapter 1 at the Epicenter Conference here in Jerusalem. And just talk a little bit about why you said yes and, you know, what Joel chapter 1 has meant to you as you've been processing that in context of, you know, your call from the Lord.
You know, it's so interesting because when we met in Canada, I actually, in my devotional time, I get up early every morning and spend time in a few verses just to hear God speak to me. I was in the book of Joel. I'd been going through the minor prophets. And then after I'd met you, and I was so interested to meet you because actually I read your novels, and I hadn't read the Epicenter and Inside the Revolution yet, but I'd read every novel that you'd written up until then. I love novels, and was so interested to hear what you would have to say. But as I was studying the book of Joel, and then you called me after, or I think you texted me after we were in Canada together, and asked if I would be a part of this. And I felt the Lord put that on my heart from Joel chapter 2, actually, that I was to be a part of this gathering and come to Jerusalem to call the people together for repentance. And then as I studied the chapter 1, which is what you assigned me, and spent time in it, I felt like it resonated with what I believe is God's message to his people today. So you can say his people are, Jews. You can say his people are the church. But those who have a special relationship with God, I believe his message today is a message of repentance. And so primarily I feel my calling is to the church. And I take that from Revelation 22 when he says, I've sent my angel to the church. And we call our ministry Angel Ministries. My initials, AGL. Angels were messengers of God. And I felt the message of God for the church today is a message of wake up, get ready to meet God because he's coming. And we need to repent of our sin. And the church is asleep. You know, we fight over worship music. We fight over colors of the carpet. We fight over denominational issues. And we've lost sight of the fact that the Bible is true, that the gospel is for real, that there are people all around us who are dying and going to hell, that desperately need a message of hope and salvation, but the church has lost its focus. The trumpet is giving an uncertain sound. So when I read Joel 1, I thought this, and I loved the very first verse because Joel, as I had shared in my message, was a nobody. We don't know anything about him. He was a nobody. But he's quoted by Peter at Pentecost. He became a somebody because he received the word of God. He lived it out, and then he proclaimed it. And I feel identify with that. I feel I'm also a nobody. And I know I have a family heritage, but in myself, I'm a nobody. And yet, from heaven's perspective, I can become a somebody when I receive God's word, apply it to my life, obey it, live it out, and then share it. And I believe the word that Joel shared and he proclaimed is the word that God would want proclaimed today, which is a message of wake up and cry out to God because judgment is coming. It's time to get right with God.
The church, broadly speaking, seems intoxicated with the world as well. You know, that's one of the things you sort of focused on in the message.
That's exactly right. And the church, for many people, they look at people in church and they don't see much difference between people in church and outside the church, except that we seem to be very hypocritical and self-righteous. And so that I think the average person outside the church doesn't want anything to do with those inside the church because we've not made Jesus attractive. We have not made him appealing. And they look at the way we live our lives and they think, well, what do they need Jesus for, you know? And so I feel that it's time for the church as God's people in a very precious way because we've been bought and paid for with the blood of Jesus, and he's redeemed us with the blood of the Lamb. And we have come to faith. We have received him as Savior. He's coming back to receive us to himself. And in the meantime, he's given us the privilege of living out our lives here on this earth for his glory, meaning not that we're going to have shining faces, but that we would reveal his character in such a way that other people would see us and they would want to know Jesus. And somehow the church has lost that vision, and we're caught up. When I think of the drunkard, if you plot that way, it's not only intoxicated with the world, but intoxicated with ourselves, all the stuff, you know, all the things that the church offers, the electives, the programs, the entertainment, the music, the dramas, all the things that make up the church. But somehow in all of that, we've lost Jesus. We've lost the beauty and the simplicity of the message that God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. And buried in the stuff that we've gotten so caught up in is the shining truth that God loves us, that we need to get right with him, because there is a judgment day that's coming, and it comes for me when I step into eternity, but I believe it's coming upon the whole world, and time is very short, and we need to get right. But the church, you know, and if the church doesn't tell people
right.
that, Joel,
who's
going to do that?
Right.
If the church doesn't give out the message of the gospel, if the church doesn't give out God's word, who will? And that means then the world will have no answers. When the disasters happen that we've talked about, and when things begin to collapse, they won't be able to make sense of it because they don't have the answers and we're not giving them. So it's time for the church to wake up. And when we see the unsettledness in the world today, it's a time to give out Jesus because people are searching for hope. They want something to stand on to build their lives on. And Jesus said that he's that foundation and he will carry us through whatever comes.
Well, thank you, Ann Graham Lotz, Joel Rosenberg, and Pastor Skip. And thank you for joining us on this special First Friday presentation of The Connection with Skip Heitzen and highlights from the Epicenter Conference radio special held recently in Jerusalem. Before we go today, if you'd like to hear more from the conference, just visit epicenterconference.com, and you can hear over 2 hours of teachings from the various speakers. Get caught up with what's happening in the world, how it lines up with biblical prophecy, and what it means for your daily Christian life. Just visit epicenterconference.com. Or if you just like the highlights we covered today, you can order a CD of today's First Friday program when you give us a call at 1-800-922-1888 or listen online at connectionradio.org. And that's also where you can pick up your final day's resource package, including the original Epicenter DVD documentary and Joel Rosenberg's book, Inside the Revolution, both now only $30. So call 1-800-922-1888 or write us at The Connection. That's P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199. Now, next time here on The Connection, Skip Heitzig continues our series, The Biography of God. So join us as we continue to explore how the Bible reveals to us God's character.
Take the time to make the connection.
The Connection is a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.